Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 4, 18 to 19 and Acts 1, verse 8. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And from Acts, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
So, good morning, church. So my topic this morning is to buy your BMW. As you all know that I am a strong believer of driving Corollas. So what are you talking about this morning about BMW? I'll explain this later on. Most companies major companies, corporations, they would have a mission statement, especially in the Western world. We love to have mission statements for this and for that. So the world's most successful soft drink company, Coca-Cola. So I look up their mission statement. I don't drink Coke that much. I only drink it when it's on sale. So we usually miss the sale. So the mission statement for Coca-Cola. It always seems to be a 5-minute lag. Yeah, okay. The mission statement for Coca-Cola is to refresh the world in mind, body, and spirit, to inspire moments of optimism and happiness through our brands and actions, and to create value and make a difference. Wow, okay. Very powerful, ambitious mission statement for a soft drink company. I mean, I don't know, when you drink your Coke, would you feel that your mind, probably your body, being refreshed, and spirit, and inspire moments of optimism? I don't know about that, but at least when you drink it, you feel good, especially when the weather is hot. And did it bring you happiness? Probably for a few minutes. Through our brands and actions, and to create value, only when it's on sale, and make a difference. So that's their mission statement. It's kind of a bit long, because Coca-Cola is a 100-year-old company, but it's the world's most successful soft drink company. So no matter where you go in the world, you always see they manage to put their brands right at the front. So it's a very successful soft drink company. Actually, it kind of looks like what the church is trying to do, isn't it? To refresh the world in my body and spirit, and to inspire moments of optimism, bring happiness, joy, abundant life, through our faith, to create value and make a difference in the world. But newer companies don't have such a long mission statement, hard to remember. You almost have to go to Warner to memorize this mission statement, it's so long. So I look up the one from Nike, which is a newer company. Our mission is to bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. That's short and sweet, we call it, isn't it? A mission statement. That's easy to remember. So do churches have a mission statement? Well, let's look at Jesus first. Did Jesus have a mission statement? Yes, he did. He has a mission statement, a very clear mission statement. What was the purpose of a mission statement? The mission statement is to state the purpose of your mission, of your company, of your business. So what was Jesus' business on this earth? Well, he stated it quite clearly in the verses that we read earlier. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to, that is the purpose of Jesus' mission on earth, to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus was very clear when he's on earth what his mission is: to bring us the good news to the poor. Poor is not just poor in possessions. Yes, Jesus did feed the poor, the hungry, but it's more than that. It's more than just physical hunger. He also fed the spiritually hungry people to proclaim freedom. Freedom not just from demon possessions, freedom from the bondage of yourself, freedom from sin. For the prisoners and recovery of the sight of the blind, not just physically blind, but also blind from knowing God, cannot see the truth. So Jesus set the people free and let people see the truth. And Jesus was very, very clear about his purpose and his mission. I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, not just his own people, not just in his own city. For I was sent for this purpose. So a mission statement is to state the purpose. So Jesus was very clear his purpose, what his purpose was: to proclaim the good news, to set the bondage free. The blind can see, and reconciliation with God. That was his purpose. And not just in his own town, his own places, but to other cities, to all the people. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. So the mission of the church should be the same as that of Jesus, isn't it? As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Jesus has committed his mission when he was on earth, did he? Of course he did. But obviously his mission is not completed, even as of today, because Jesus has passed that baton, that mission, on to us, the church. John 20:21. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, even so I am sending you. It's like in the relay, you know, in the 400 relay, or 800 relay even, right? You pass the baton into the next one. Jesus gave us a mission. There are two schools of theory when it comes to, does the church need a mission statement? Yes and no. All the alliances churches in Hong Kong, they don't have a mission statement. They don't believe they need a mission statement because their job is to be a church. Some churches really think that without a mission statement, they will lost. But if we look at most of the mission statements other churches, it is to worship God, to have fellowship, to disciple the Christians, and they bring the gospel to end as well. That's all the churches are doing that. So I believe that we don't really need the mission statement, because unless you are have a very specialized ministry as a church, like ministering to the street people, to people who in downtown, people with special needs. Otherwise, you're just like a general practitioner, you know, doctor. I don't believe a mission statement is not that important. But it is, it's not that important. But Jesus did give us a mission statement. All the churches, a mission statement. All, as churches, we cannot call something our mission unless it is something that Christ has explicitly commanded us to do. So I always say that actually, even before we plan a mission statement, Jesus has already given a mission statement to all the churches. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation, to all nations. That was Jesus' mission, and he has passed that baton onto us. So we already have a mission statement. Our church came together for two Sunday afternoons, if you remember, to come up with our pleasant mission statements. So when I first became the senior pastor 6 years ago, some elders said, no, we should now have a new mission statement, a new senior pastor, a new mission statement. I said, no, what's wrong with this one? I like the one that we have, unifying Christ for the mission, to fulfill the mission of God. Christ has already given us a mission statement. And he actually repeated that. Well, the first one is a bit long, maybe hard for you to remember. So he gave us a more simplified, abbreviated mission statement. I need to wait. Okay, Acts 1, 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is the last mission statement, a simplified version, to us. Be my witness. So that's my topic this morning. Reminder, if you forget what I am talking about this morning, just remember this BMW. Be my witness. That is the mission statement Jesus had given to us before he ascended to heaven. So that's the last statement, right, which always overrides the previous ones. But it's actually the same, but in a more simplified form. So what do churches have to do today? Well, just remember, BMW, be my witness. Because now that you have seen what I have done on earth, now just go and be my witness. You will receive the power. Jerry Packer, my teacher when I was in a region, he said that everybody is a theologian. Everybody is a theologian. It's just there's some better ones and some worse ones. So every believer is a witness for Christ, whether he wants to be one or not. Every one of us who believed in Christ is a witness for him. What is a witness? Right? Witness, the word martyr, witness, have three senses. In the dictionary, I looked at some in the dictionary. There's a legal sense. It's a legal term, like in a courtroom, you're called to be a witness to testify, or in a historical sense, you witness something in history. Right, you were in the Second World War, so you witness the killing, all this. So you're called to be a witness. Or in an ethical sense, you have experienced something, you are sharing the experience. I don't know how many of you have been called to be a jury duty in the court. How many of you have been a juror, been called? One, okay. Did they pick you, Vinny? No, okay. I've been called to a jury duty some years ago. And I was paid. I said, this is my bad luck day. I have to work. They don't pay you much. They only pay you enough for parking. so expensive, the downtown. And then they pick me, but usually they send out, I don't know how many invitations, and then there's the whole room is full of people to be picked as a juror. And then one by one, the lawyer will call you up, you know, each lawyer, and then they will say yes, no, and then they pick the final film. So I was picked to be a juror. I said, now I have to take time off work. And you know that in North America here, you cannot refuse jury duties. You cannot say that I'm sick and I'm not feeling well, I'm busy, you can't do that. So I was being a juror for a case for a week. But I really enjoyed it. It was very interesting, actually. So every day I said that it was very interesting, more interesting than all the K-drama court case, because this is for real. I find something is very interesting that the door is always open because it's a democratic country. Anybody can walk in as long as you don't make too much noise. But the door is open, and then you listen to the two attorneys, the two lawyers. And I find it's just like in a movie. There's a lot of detective work they did, and it's really amazing. So at the end is the juror, the vote for the defendant, you know, whether he's guilty or not. And I find it really educational, and I learned a lot, and it made me more appreciate of the democratic system in Canada. So you're being called to be a witness. You are witnesses of these things. Luke 24:48. You are the witnesses of these things. And you can only be called to be a witness unless you have firsthand knowledge. You have seen the happenings. You have heard it, seen it firsthand. Hearsay, there's a term called hearsay. You cannot say that I came here to witness because I heard my mother told me that, or I watched this in YouTube. They all say that this guy is guilty. You can't do that. To be a witness, you have to heard it, seen it yourself, firsthand. And I look up, now that you know that there are a lot of movies, TV shows on witnesses, court cases. So I look up, I wonder how many movies are there that has the name witness, right? So I counted at least 60 movies and TV shows. The witness of the witness for the prosecution, witness protection, witness to war, eyewitness, the only witness, false witness, expert witness, the last witness to kill, go on. And then there was a movie or show called Key Witness. Hey, that's us. That's us. We are the key witness for Christ, for Jesus. Unless you have never experienced the new life from Jesus. Otherwise, if you are a born-again Christian, if you have experienced Christ's love, hey, you are one of the key witnesses. Witness has something to say. Psalm 71:24 says, my tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. If you have seen a good movie, you want to tell other people. I like to tell other people what to watch, what's a good movie, what's a good show, right? If you have, you know there's something on sale and online, you tell people, right? This is online, or there's a coupon, and then you can use your coupon and points, right? Sales end today, right? When you experience something, you tell people. When you go to a restaurant, you want to ask people opinion, and the people tell, oh, no, if you want Korean food, you go to this one, or Japanese food, you go to these two, Chinese food. Like, you like to share your experience. But it's kind of a bit strange that when it comes to something that changed our life, Jesus, we don't like to tell other people. We have to keep it to ourselves. It is kind of a bit strange, isn't it? John chapter 1, about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, the same word, witness, to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He's not there to testify about himself. Right? He came only as a witness to the light. That's our job. All of us who have this new life, all of us who have experienced the abundance life, the freedom, the truth of Jesus, we, or you, are the key witnesses, to witness the light. But very often, instead of being a witness, look at my life has been changed. Look at me. Do you see Christ in me? I am the witness. You won the lottery? Look at me. I won the lottery. Look at how happy I am. You won't be very sad. I won the lottery. No. Look at me. I have Christ. But very often, instead of asking people to look at, be a witness for Jesus, we become a judge. Let God be the judge. Your job today is to be a witness. Unfortunately, many of us mix up our role. Instead of trying to be a witness for God's love in our life, we're trying to be a judge, to judge other people. There are many ways for us to be a witness. You could be a housewife, being a witness to other housewives, to your neighbors. You have a business. You can witness Christ in your business. Five ways to share Christ. If you're in the medical field, you have opportunities. I know that there are restrictions what you can do, what you can say. Find opportunities to share Christ. In school, that's the best harvest field. In school, especially in college. Most people, 90% of the people in the U.S., 90%, they accepted Christ when they were teens and youth. Most people became Christians. I became a Christian when I was in university. So university is the best harvest field. Have you been a witness for him on campus? At work, there are many opportunities for us to be a witness. We don't have to go through theological trainings to be a witness. The woman at the well, she met Christ and she was excited. John 4:28. And then she just leaving her water jar, probably the most important possession she had at the time. She left that the water jar and ran back to her town and tell people, witness, just share her experience. Come and see a man who told me everything. What did she do? She did not even finish Christianity 101, a basic truth, the baptismal class. She did not even go through any of the Sunday school. Obviously not go to church. She knew very little about Jesus, but she witnessed what she has experienced. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Sometimes we try too hard to package the gospel. We worry that people may not like it. They may not, how can they believe such a simple gospel? I have been sharing the gospel since I became a Christian. You will be surprised how easily people accept the gospel. I used to have a goal to bring 10 people to Christ each year, and I have been doing that until I become a senior pastor. It's so sad. I got a lot in the church here most of my time, doing different things, encouraging other people to witness. That was my goal in life. I bring 10 people to Christ, and I have done that for over 30 years. It's easier than you think. You have to share your testimony, your witness. They don't need to hear a lot of very deep theological theories. We need those, don't get me wrong. But many of the Samaritans from that time believe in him because of the woman's testimony, being a witness. Witness is something you have heard, you have seen, you have experienced. Doesn't need to be something very deep that no one can understand. Ask yourself today, have you experienced Jesus? Have you experienced this freedom that Jesus was proclaiming? Have you seen the truth? Recovery of sight for the blind, oppressed, being set free. Are you free from the bondage of sin, of your personal self-ambition? Witness is a person who has seen, who can give first-hand evidence. And all of us who have experienced Christ can share this good news. Be my witness. There was someone in the gospel who was blind, and Jesus healed him. And then the Pharisees asked him, is Jesus a sinner? He said, I don't know. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, but I know that I was blind, but now I see. And this is what we need to do. We need to first experience Christ in our life. Then you cannot hold back. And today, you do not like to witness for him. Maybe you have not truly experienced his new life. The New Testament Christians did not witness because they had to, but because they could not help it. Today, maybe so many Christians, so many of us are not really excited about being a witness for him. Maybe because we have not really experienced this freedom, new life ourselves. Otherwise, we will be like the first century Christians. We cannot hold it back. Being a witness, we have to be bold, strong. We spend many time in church, which is all good. Discipling, training, equipping, all these are necessary. All these are needed to prepare us, to be a bold witness. We don't just prepare for the sake of preparing. We don't just prepare to run the race and just but never join the race. Next slide, please. His voice leads us not into timid discipleship, but into bold witness. We go to Sunday school. We don't just study the Bible for the sake of enjoying for ourselves. Yeah, that is very important. Don't get me wrong. That's very, very important. But we want to prepare ourselves so that we can witness for him with our Bible knowledge. We worship here so that we can be close to God. We give our worship to God. We enjoy God's presence so that we enjoy so much. We want other people to enjoy this fellowship with God. Don't we? If we enjoy so much, if this is so good, this new life, but why are we keeping it just to ourselves? It's just contradicting, isn't it? There's a price to pay, though, to be a witness. In Canada here, we don't have to give our life, but in many countries, they have to give out their life, big sacrifice. The word, when they look for a word to describe the first century Christians that they die for their faith, they look for an English word, they couldn't find one, so they use this Greek word. The word witness The right hand side is martyr. That is the Greek. The Greek for witness is martyreo. Martyr. I mean, I'm sure you all recognize this word in English with martyr. So when they look for a word to describe, English word to describe the sacrifice of the first century Christians, the best word they can find is the Greek word witness. Witness in the first century equals martyr, martyrdom. The Greek word martyreo, the word to testify. That's the price to pay. But it is our mission to be a witness. I find, as I told you, I look at all the names of movies. There are 60 movies, more than 60 I found online. There's one show called Silent Witness. It's about forensic. It's a movie about, I think some of you may have seen it, Silent Witness, about these dead bodies and how the forensic experts discover the witness from these dead bodies. Hopefully we are not dead bodies. That'd be so sad, isn't it? We are dead bodies. We need a forensic expert to extract the evidence from us that, hey, he is a Christian. He's registered, he goes to VCAC every Sunday. I saw him. I didn't know that he was a Christian until I saw him. I passed by VCAC, I saw him wearing a tie, walking in the church. I hope we are not silent witnesses that people have to extract from our dead body, or this forensic expert, to find the evidence that Christ is in us, in this church. Instead, you come to school, hey, he is different. This guy, this person, she is different. There's something different. That's how I became a Christian. I went to UBC as a non-Christian, and I saw these people, they're different. They go to this Christian club, they are different. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they are different. They are so happy. They are so friendly. So I joined one of their club, and that's how I found Christ. I don't have to try to extract and analyze them and say, that, hey, surprise, they're Christians. There is an empty chair in the court. This is a picture of a courtroom. The judge, the witness stand, in most of the courts, is right next to the judge, just slightly lower than the judge. Put your name in there. That's your witness stand. It's empty. Jesus is the defendant. The world is judging on him. Who is this Jesus? And you are being called to be in the witness stand, but it's empty. Where were you? Where are you? You are the witness. You come here to defend Jesus, because only you are the expert witness. You are the last witness. You are here to witness that Jesus is the Son of God. But where are you? I'm too busy with work, with family, with church. There's so many things to do in the church. I don't have time to witness for you. That's so sad. Hey, this is your witness stand. And you're being called, and you cannot refuse. You'll be in trouble. You're being called to take the witness stand, to witness for him. Witness for him in school, at work, even in church, among your friends. Be my witness. Next slide, please. Live in such a way that those who know you but do not know God, you come to know God because they know you. Those who do not know God, but they see Jesus in you, and they come to know God. Not because of what you said, but they can see Jesus in you. Let's pray. Father, we want to, all of us, want to be your witness. You have called us to be your witness, the last witness, the expert witness, to witness that you have changed our life. And that is our mission. That is the mission statement you have given to us. Let's all unify together. We join hands together to complete the mission that you have given to us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Norman, for your message. I invite you guys to